know who can?
Rudy Man can. Rudy Man can. Rudy Man can. 262-8222. 262-8222.
Charlie did not die from an overdose. Charlie was poisoned.
No other family should go through this. It's just horrific.
Go to safe.pharmacy. Use the free tool. Learn if the online pharmacy you're using is safe.
Having Canty and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
Brian Rucco, we've been having a debate on our show. Canty and I say that if you have to make a reservation, it's not a diner. Small says if diner is in the name, it's a diner. There's a restaurant in New York City that claims to be a diner, but you have to make a reservation at it. Is it a diner?
No, it's not a diner. No chance.
Unsportsmanlike. Weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
It is Thursday, April 4th, getting closer to the NFL draft. I have to just say that, right? Why not? John Forcade has, it's crazy to think, 3 weeks from today. Not next Thursday. Not the Thursday after, that would be the 18th, but the 25th. You and I would be over there at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans on one of those fantastic setups over there, as I confirmed to them that, yeah, we'd be more than happy to go hang out over there and watch a little golf, hopefully a beautiful day like today. I mean, I don't know if it won't be nearly as not as humid as it is today. I mean, it's perfect. Today's is gorgeous. Absolutely perfect, yeah. As we're live over at Katie's on Iberville in Mid-City. Got a lot to get into today, sir. Got a lot of opinions that I want to get into. And especially what I heard based off of what the Bills did. So, I don't know. We'll see what it's going to be like as we get closer to the draft and how people feel about their teams and things of that nature. Plus, we also will touch on what happened yesterday at the Smoothie King Center. I need level of concern from folks based off of what we saw last night as the Pelicans yet again come up short in a home game as they lose to Orlando. And again, as we said it yesterday, look, Orlando is fourth in the East. They're right now with hosting the first round. They are a good team. They're a good defensive team. They beat the Pelicans on March 21st in Orlando, and it wasn't going to be easy. Friday's not going to be easy against the Spurs, and they're dead last in the West. As Victor Wembanyama is playing really good basketball right now. And more importantly right now, the Pels are kind of in their own heads and are kind of struggling in a lot of different areas that we really haven't seen for most of the season. Yes, they have injuries and are missing two players. But, John, we'll break this down here in a quick second. In our lead, Erin Hartigan from Valley Sports New Orleans will join us at 12:30. Erin Summers at 2:15. She's at practice right now. And I know you followed it on and on. On and off and stuff, but I know you have B.I. out.
Right.
But four of the last five games that you've lost here at home, I'm not going to say it's just because of Brandon Ingram, especially based off of what Zion is saying.
First, that's a shocker. You're not blaming the injuries.
No, that's not me. I don't blame. No. There's a difference between
folks,
blaming.
I'm rolling my eyes over here.
Well, there's a difference between blaming an injury and being aware that it does affect you and stuff, but that's what I'm saying. Look, does it affect the offensive scheme in terms of the ball movement, the assist? I mean, you can't lose your assist leader and it not affect your offense. I mean, that's fair.
Well, then whose fault is that?
Well, I understand. Well, again, that's what I was saying yesterday.
Griffin and Green for not having a person that they can throw in there.
That I can agree with you. Okay. Because what I was saying yesterday was the construct of the team, the construction
correct
of the team.
Yes.
Is right now while you're having issues, you are missing B.I. That does affect you. But at the same time, you're watching and things are happening during the game or after the game that are being said by Zion or being said by the head coach that ain't necessarily one player.
Right.
Focus.
It's not.
Energy.
I don't see that.
Physicality, sense of urgency. Like, I've told you this before, and you know this, and I'm not alone. It's April 4th.
Right.
There's six games left. You've been back. 1 week ago, you were fourth in the West. You're now seventh this morning. If I need to tell you about sense of urgency, that is a construct problem. That is a you don't belong on this roster problem.
And look at the schedule. I totally agree with the rosters. If you don't realize what's at stake right now, then you got the wrong players on this squad that can't get it. Because I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that. You know, like some people say, oh, man, they don't have the heart. No, they got that. We all know that. But there's something missing there that they don't have.
That's a good way to put it.
And I look at it, they got four road games to come, and look who they're playing.
They're not just four road games.
I know, that's four teams that are all fighting for not to be eighth, ninth, or tenth.
The Phoenix Suns, who just handed it to them, with 52 from Devin Booker, just gave it to Cleveland last night. They're awaiting you on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to go play a Trailblazers team that right now, again, there isn't anything easy right now because you're not showing me something that's concerning me. Normally, I'm like, what is your level of concern? Mm-hmm. I am concerned. Now, look, as a player, as a coach, you want to portray confidence. You want to be confident. You want to be able to show up and be like, okay, look, let's end this. Obviously, you don't want to be panicking and stuff like that. I mean, that's the job of the coach. Coach has got to give you the confidence, got to be able to be there for you. But this is adversity. There's no doubt about it. You're in quicksand right now. That's what it sort of feels. I'm watching this team, and that level of execution, that energy, that confidence level, you can see it in the body language. I thought Graf brought up appropriately yesterday. We're in the first half, first quarter, second quarter, and Orlando makes a play, and the Magic bench are standing up. They're all into the game. And it's not the same energy level or body language that you see from the Pelican side. And, you know, you've been on teams before, too, John. College, high school, or pros. It could be a stretch. It could be a two-game losing streak or three. It could be a bad one of those seasons. You know, the dreaded, it's just one of those seasons where nothing goes right. It's hard to put a finger on it, but it's palpable when you feel like you don't have answers. And I feel like I'm watching the game at times. I'm like, this looks like a team that doesn't have the answers.
You know, I was drawing straws, trying to figure out what, and I like what you said, they don't have answers. And when you say they don't have answers, well, it all's got to fall back. And I know people don't say this, but it falls first to your coach. I mean, I could jump and say, well, it falls to the GM guys who didn't get the right place. But that's beside that because once you're playing, you got to go with the 12 guys you got to go with. But I've said this, and Gus, you've heard me say this for weeks and weeks and weeks, that I just don't see anything in Green. When's the last time he went on? Last night he got mad with 7 seconds left, so they threw guys out. And I saw the foul. The guy wasn't. He was trying to steal a ball, and he was kind of falling over when he was doing it. It wasn't a deliberate. It's not deliberate. And it was a bad situation. But I'm looking at, they're still fighting Orlando, got the game win. They're trying to steal a ball at the end. You don't see none of that with the Pelicans. You don't see Green on the side. You don't see what combination he's putting in the game. What players are gelling here, there, and what. You know, you can't play big ball. We're going to go small ball. That's not working. You know, there's so many things, so many. And that falls on the coach and his assistant.
You brought it up. And, again, I think, obviously, if it continues to trend in the direction that there is, and this team is fighting or look, a win would have guaranteed you a play-in spot at least. Right now, it feels like you're trying to do everything you can to stay out of 9-10, which is the winner. Go home.
Well, I think we all know they're in the playoffs. I mean, they'd have to lose every game not to make the playoffs.
Well, they've lost four or five.
Well, I think they look. I mean,
no, I hear you. But my point is, they've got to win some games here.
Yeah.
At some point, and that's the thing is that's the concerning aspect of it. Where I'm like, look, I mean, you got to be able to get some. Some wins under your belt, one way, shape, or form.
I think there's six left, so you got to muster two.
I'm going to play some sound that kind of gives you an idea of what I think you're seeing and feeling on there, and that's why there's concern at the same time. Like I said, I think there's they know the. I guess I'll ask you this as a player. You know what the answer is. right? If it's if a coach says, John, on when that back foot hits, man, on that third step, we have to get rid of the ball on this play. Like, you know what it is. Or, look, the mic is there, and if he's coming in weak side, we're going to roll the play out to the right, to the strong. Like, if you know certain things that help, yet they're not being done, that's the frustrating element, because everyone wants to point the finger. There is finger to be pointing or blame, but how, where's the level of where it goes? Because I hear the coach constantly saying, we need a sense of urgency. We need to move the ball. We need to move our feet and play defense. We need to rebound. Players are saying, we're not matching the sense of urgency. We're not matching the physicality. We're becoming stagnant. We're not passing the basketball. We're not rebounding and boxing out. So they know happening.
Why is it not happening? Is it four or five? I lost 4 or 5. Were they using that same excuse, like each time that they get there and they get in the podium, you know, a sense of urgency? We're not doing well. If that's the problem, then you got the wrong people. Because if they come in there every time and say the same thing after every loss, I mean, tell me something. Look, just come and say, we stunk. We could hit the backside of a barn. Don't use the same scenario that you used the week before. Look, these are NBA basketball players, no different than professional NFL football players. You got a job to do. Look, the number one thing in basketball, you got to put the ball in the hoop. You know that. That's the only way you can win football game. Put the ball in the hoop. In the NFL, you don't necessarily have to score touchdowns and win. You can kick 16 field goals. You know, you can get 10 field goals.
Right.
But in this case, the only way you can win ball games,
you gotta
score, right?
Right.
So if you can't put the ball in the basket, I mean, you can pass it around. You can get the right open shots. But if they're not falling for you, then what is that? It's just not falling for you.
The other thing that hits me too, John, is it's very similar, and I don't know if there's numbers to compare and contrast it. Maybe this is something that I could ask Eichenhofer. He loves numbers and statistics and stuff. But last year, when they had their most adverse time, where they went through a 10-game losing streak, it looked like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of close games. Some games didn't do it, you know. At first, the 2, 3, 4 games into the 10-game losing streak, Jose Alvarado, we're fine. We're going to be good. I'm like, no, there's somebody needs to panic here. Where's the chair needs to be thrown? Like, y'all need to realize y'all are spiraling here.
It ain't like losing 3,
right.
Losing 10.
And then
10,
by the time they different. Got to 9 or 10 straight losses, they're like, okay, it's time to buckle down, tighten the pants. You know, the phrases, look in the
right.
mirror, all
right.
that other stuff. And all of that was basically because Zion got injured and
right.
was out.
Correct.
And you got that sense and feel and heard at the end of the year. I think you've seen it most of this season. They built this program this year to sustain not having one of their
right.
top three players play. CJ missed time. Zion missed time. B.I. missed time last year. And I felt that this year, didn't you? I mean, because
yes,
those three guys have missed some games.
But
they were... they
different than last year.
They were above 500, right? The team was
right.
better... Well, not better. They won without B.I. They won games without Zion. And they
right.
won games without C.J.
And
so what's different right now?
Remember last night? I'm going to get to the answer.
Yeah.
Remember last night when I texted you guys in a group and I said, well, the Lakers have a better record without LeBron James.
Yeah.
You'd be like, are you kidding me? LeBron's got a losing record with them as a team playing.
Right.
I'm not losing, but it's just their record's much better when he's not on the game. So that means other people have stepped up.
Right.
So when you look at this team here, when I say other people stepped up, are they giving the guys the opportunity when they're in? I mean, you figure, okay, we're going to make some adjustments here, we're going to put a couple different guys in. And do you yank them before you can find out? I mean, are they getting enough time on the court for you to sit there and say it ain't working with him?
So I look again,
because they got 12 guys.
Help me out, Pels fans. Help me out today to try to figure out what is the issue here.
Well, I know.
Or what do you think some of the issues are as well? Look, but I think it's a handful.
It can't be one. This team has some issues.
I do think there's a level of coaching.
Yet,
I do think there's a level of player.
Player or players?
Player or players that aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. And when I say that, I mean, like, it's just, you know, again, CJ finished with 36 last night. He had 8 at halftime.
Right.
Great that he had that second half, but that first half, which was crazy, the halftime score was 58-55. They were down 3. It felt like they were down 30.
You did.
But that goes back to the bigger issue of this. The energy in that building. You can say the coach can be responsible to that, and to an extent he is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? At the same time, the players have got to do some things on the court to get the crowd going.
There's no doubt.
The players have also have to realize what time it is. What's the date?
Yeah, they
what is the significance of games?
Because
I'm going on every single day and going, this is a big game.
Yes.
You were saying, this is a big homestand.
It is.
They have lost
3 in a row.
All but one so far of a 6-game homestand. They've lost 4. And in each of those, we all looked at it as a big game.
Mm-hmm.
And what's concerning to me is I have one of your best players. And we'll play when we come back out of the break, saying, we lack the sense of urgency.
They do. They just,
and, well, and that's what I, that,
you
so
just
it
can't
comes
turn
down,
a light switch on when
and
you
that's
want
what
to.
I'm saying,
it has
John,
to stay
it
on.
It comes
for a while.
Down to, yes, can the coach help a hurt develop emotion or energy or that sense of urgency? Yes.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, their words in terms that the players have to make the plays, right?
Well,
Jim Moore, Dennis Allen, yeah. Sean Payton, Willie Green.
Everything they want to say gets you. You know, I can do everything for you until you get in the ring to fight. You're on your
100%.
Own. I can say everything until you cross over that line.
Rocky's trainer. It's up to Rocky to take the shots.
Yes,
well,
right.
We'll talk a little bit more about what I'm getting at here. We'll take your phone calls on the Rudiman Can Hotline, 800-998-1003. Hour 1, brought to you by Noake Outfitters. A week from tomorrow, we'll be out there on Airline. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Messed around and you found out if you're Orlando, you put that pressure on him and Z was able to get to the bucket.
Zion Williamson injured his finger yesterday as well. We'll find out a little bit more as to what happened. That game, so much to get into and talk to. Let's get things rolling.
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
Right, so the Pelicans go down to the Magic, lose another home game on the 6-game homestand, and obviously lots of people trying to figure out what in the world is going on with this team. Head coach Willie Green, after the game, was asked about the loss.
Well, they're a big team. They got in the paint, got to the free throw line. You know, they made some shots, and we battled the guys. It came down to the last, you know, couple minutes of the game. But we once again, it's, you look at the third quarter and 21 points. You know, it goes back to putting together a full 48 minutes.
One of the things that Zion Williams said after the game on the loss is what happened and – What's his gut feeling on this team right now? But what happened essentially with this offense in the second and third quarter where really the game sort of changed?
We got to attack the gaps. I don't think we're attacking the gaps with a purpose. I think we're going, but we're not doing it with a purpose. We call it 0.5 decision, and we just got to just do that a lot better.
So that's just one, John, of the instances in where you hear Zion talking about maybe perhaps not meeting the same strength or physicality, and here's another one.
You just got to be physical. I mean, at the end of the day, we got to be physical. They call it a foul. They call it, but I'd rather us make the refs call it than not try to match it.
So
that's the problem I have with the NBA guys. Mm-hmm. The bickering because they think they're getting fouled or everything. Look, you gotta watch the game, guys, before you start opening your mouth, because here's the issue I have with the NBA. They call ticky-tack fouls and stuff like that. They don't call fouls. You know, there's nothing you can do about it. Go play. Now, when I hear them say, we got to get physical, well, if you don't have the right physical guys out there, you can't get physical. You can't play small ball against big ball.
You just said something that, again, I'm not a coach. I like to, and I know, I see you, KG, coming to get to you in a minute here. But again, that's one of the things, too, right? I mean, it's one thing if I say, hey, John, today's game plan or this week's game plan, we're going to go run the football. But what if you don't have a good running back, or what if you don't have a good line that can make the block?
Correct. Then you gotta, then you got to prepare for that.
So now I'm putting you in 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, because you're not getting the 1 or 2 yards on 1st and 2nd down. I almost feel sometimes, and again, I'm not an NBA coach, or I'm not on that staff. I don't understand why this. At least to me, it feels like this team has changed its identity. And when we decided to become small ball, I don't understand that because
they're all trying to play.
You know who
the
Mo
Golden
Wagner is?
State ball.
Legit question. I'm not trying to make fun of you. Do you know who Mo Wagner is?
Mo Wagner. Can't say I do.
Exactly. He was absolutely dominating the paint yesterday for the Magic.
How big
Tyson
is Mo
Daniels
Wagner?
Is on. He's a big guy.
Thank you.
Okay. My point is, Jonas Valanciunas was sitting down watching.
He's been watching for a long time.
I love Dyson Daniels. Dyson Daniels is very good on the perimeter, guarding Luka Doncic, doing all those different aspects of it. Literally, there was a stretch in the game where the Magic would bring the ball down the court. They would lob it into Mo Wagner. He would either kiss it off the glass, dunk it, and it was like 5 and 1s in a row. Do you understand what I'm getting at?
I know exactly
So you're not using your length or size. Here's my thing. If you're not using him because you think he's not fast enough, or he's not creating your space, or he's whatever it is, then at the very least, the man has 6 fouls.
Mm-hmm. Use him.
Then let him foul out.
Let me
come on the show the next day and say, the Pelicans could have won this game, but Jonas Valanciunas couldn't guard anybody. He fouled out in the second quarter.
I can't even say that now.
First off, I haven't seen it.
Right,
it hasn't happened since he's been here that I can think of. Where I think he might have fouled out once, man. That I can really honestly think of.
But the object is that when you got a big man in the middle,
it makes
the other team realize, okay, we can't go in that point because of that. Let me tell you something. Basketball has changed, right? The 3-point shooting, but you better have a bunch of good 3-pointers can hit them. That's the small ball assets of it. Because you saw when Golden State, I remember when Gentry got here, but the other coach was here before, that was using it, and he was getting killed. They were going to try to be what Golden State is. You can't be something you're not. And this team has to stay with the big lineup, and you know, and have B.I. and McCollum and Zion and the big boy in the middle, and you got a whole flock of guys at 6'6", 6'5", 6'7", who can be the other forward out there. You can't get rebounds if you don't have the big boys in the game.
Again, that's my thing, right? It's the plus or minus of this here. If I'm going to go small because I think that creates more space, I can be quicker, I can be faster, I can do those different aspects of it, fine. But if I'm getting out-rebounded now consistently.
Yep, that's the issue.
If I'm being dominated now in the paint, then what good is it? If that makes any sense to you,
they
right?
Look at that,
Orlando's one of the poor free throw shooting teams. Mm-hmm. They had 2 more points in the paint than the Pels, like 48 to 46. The point is, they got most of their points in there. Force them to be a 3-point shooting team or something.
Right.
Or if you legitimately think that right now, in the most important month of the season, you cannot win with that guy who's a walking double-double, then why is he on the team? You understand what I'm saying?
I don't know what's going through their strategy that they're employing with this team the last 4 or 5 games.
Well, it feels like it's a whole change of identity.
It does.
It doesn't make any sense.
When I look out there, I'm like, okay, man.
Because if I'm struggling to score from the outside or the 3-point shot's not going in, and I know Orlando's a team that likes to close out on the perimeter, which they did, and they said that in the postgame, then throw it inside.
I don't.
You know what I mean? I know it probably sounds easy on my end.
The few times I saw big man play, I'm like, man, he's going to give you 14, 15 points, 16, but he's also going to damage up the inside and get you, you know, 10, 12, 15 rebounds or whatever. That, you need that more than you worry about small balling. Because if you throw up a shot and you miss it, your chances of getting a rebound are known. You got 4 guys all outside the paint. Whereas if the old basketball legend could tell you, you got 3 guys in the paint, you got a good chance of what? Possibly getting a rebound and getting a putback. That's 2 points. Better than 0.
No, I hear you. Like I
don't know. I'm old school. But old school, one in the past, it still can win now.
Old school or
there's nothing wrong with throwing the three jacks up there. But, boy, if you ain't got nobody to catch rebounds if you miss, because if you don't hit those three-pointers.
Well, the problem is that two year old shooters, as we're bringing Cajun Goat into the conversation, they're inconsistent. I love Trey Murphy. He has potential. He is an inconsistent player at this point.
Whatever happened to the kid, Ryan?
He watched last time.
He got another elbow injury?
No.
His fanny's hurting him? Sitting on the bench too long, huh?
Yeah.
Remember earlier in the year, you got him here for what reason?
I understand.
If one guy ain't hitting it, that's what I was trying to tell you. If somebody's not doing a job, then get somebody and find out if he can. I can coach very easy from that couch at my house.
I'll tell you what, Cajun Goat, you got 4 minutes here before at the bottom of the hour, and Aaron Hardigan from Bally Sports New Orleans joins us. What you got for us?
All right, Gus. Tease the game. Go ahead. Jonas Valanciunas has to play the minutes, and you have to play through him. Let's start with this. Jonas Valanciunas is not a pick-and-roll center. He is not that. You do not put your 7'1", the most physical guy on both teams, out at the three-point line. That's number one. When you play through him through the box in the first quarter, who won the first quarter, Gus? The Pelicans. You decided that's not good enough.
26-24, yep.
Exactly. You said that's not good enough. Let's sit him out because we don't want to win this game. Let's just sit the 7-footer out, the physical guy out. Now, I don't get it, Gus. He's going to small ball lineups with non-shooters. I know Herb's had a good season shooting. Dyson is not a shooter. He's passive. You're putting a center in that nobody respects in Larry Nance. Larry Nance is, if you want somebody that you need to get rid of on this team, it's Larry Nance, so Willie will quit using him. I'd rather bring the other guy off the bench, the younger kid who's got better legs when he took Larry's spot and they started making a comeback. I'd rather use him if you're not going to use Jonas. Larry Nance has been killing this team in this whole stretch. He doesn't shoot the ball, and as a center, he doesn't rebound the ball enough. And he's not that great on defense. He's slow. I don't know what's going on, if he's hurt or anything that's going on with him, but this is the coach's decision, okay? And I don't like what he had to say after the game when the three guys got thrown out. Now, I want to say that was a horrible officiated game, Gus. It was. But, like John said, you got to play through it. You still got to play through it. But there was some horrible stuff going on in that game where these guys were getting tic-tac fouls. And so you picked up your aggression on defense and you started playing a little more physical and you were fouling every time. The only reason they were even close in the first quarter was because they stayed at the free throw line, Orlando. We should have had them by 12, but that's the same thing that happened in Orlando in the first game.
Look, so, 16 seconds into the game, Herb Jones commits his first foul. And JD said it too, like there were some of those where there were ticky-tack, but most of them were fouls. And to the point that you're kind of making here as well, and I'll play it coming up at 12:45 after Aaron because I got to hit the break. But C.J. McCollum said he was confused by the officiating, and he brought up his numbers, how he's shooting less free throws than he was in January. They're calling the game differently. Probably John came from, the scores. People scoring 70 and stuff like that, so they were calling it differently, letting teams be more physical. To his point, though, when they were physical, it was a foul. When Orlando was physical, it was no foul.
Well, my take.
And at the end of the night, though, it's only a two.
And that changes. That changes the game, Gus. It changes the game for your physicality because if you're in foul trouble, you can't be as physical.
Here's the thing. Did you think that it was a two free throw difference last night? Orlando went to the line 30 times.
No.
The Pelicans went to the line 28. And 7 of those 30 free throws for the Magic were technical fouls. So you actually went to the free throw line more. But it didn't feel right.
See, that's why you can't blame
them. Yeah, it didn't feel that way.
The fouling.
And I think, I think it was the people that the fouls were called on.
Bingo.
I told you guys, players can't go in the game worrying about the foul scenario because you don't know when it's going to come, what it's going to come. There's going to be some ticky-tack ones. Then there's going to be some hard aggressive ones. That's the way they call it in the NBA. You just got to go play and forget what happened.
Aaron Hart again.
I agree
Sports
with you on that, John. I agree with you on that, but it does change how some of these guys play because they didn't want to foul out.
I agree.
Game so fast.
Yeah. Thank you, Casey. I got to hit the break. Thank you, man.
Give some more fouls. Make it seven.
Appreciate it so much. Aaron Hart again next on ESPN New Orleans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003. As we wait to get with Aaron Hartigan from Bally Sports New Orleans and ask her what took place last night. Here's what C.J. McCollum had to say about the confusion with officiating.
It looked dirty, but I know G. We all know G. He's not a dirty player, but it looked bad, and you know I fouled Suggs, and I'm sure it looked bad. But we all just trying to compete and trying to win at the end of the day. We're gonna protect each other and protect our teammates and do what we can to win the game. And you know, I don't necessarily think that was the issue. I think it was a collective 48 minutes of inconsistencies throughout the game where I think that causes frustration sometimes because since what, January or February, like the game has been referee different, right? Like, I mean, it's no secret. It's the least amount of free throw attempts per game since 1930, 1940, since before it was the NBA. So the game is being refereed differently, right? So we've adjusted to that. And then you have a game like tonight where they're calling fouls like it's pre-January. So it's just confusing. And I think that's the frustration. And the frustrating part is like, yo, we've been guarding like this for like 20 games. And these aren't fouls, you know, for those 20 games we played. And now these are fouls. And then we get guarded the same way. And it's like, it's just confusion. I think we just got to get a better understanding of how the game is going to be called every night because tonight was different than how it's been. Like, I shot 11 free throws. I went 5 games, and I shot 3 free throws through 5 games. I had multiple 5-game stretches where I wouldn't shoot free throws for 3 or 4 games. If I'm shooting the ball 20 times a night, somebody's hitting me at some point, right? So I think that's why we were just a little confused with how the game was being officiated tonight.
But they're worried about officials.
Yeah, but well, I mean, to
I understand
to
this point. I really
point,
do.
Though, when you're having,
but you can't. No. They can't be on your mind going into a ball game and you know during the game, because you can't go up there and shot and like, oh, I'm gonna take this shot, and if I miss it, I should have been fouled on the play. You just got to go play. And I agree. There's time. It's like the NFL. You see it where they don't call pass interference or they should have called hold. I mean, it's just you can't control that, you know. And it starts from the league, not the officials. They're told, and you know as well as I do, in basketball, they're pretty much told, let them play, don't play. These certain guys, you got to protect them. And it's a written rule, unwritten rule, whatever you want to call it. But let me say this. I watched a little bit of the game last night. Don't tell me after the first quarter the Pelicans played good basketball. And when Willie Green said, oh, yeah, we're kind of close at the end. No, you really weren't. You came at the end and made it closer than it was, but you really got spanked second, third, fourth quarter. And you can't blame, you know, you want to blame somebody, blame the coach and blame the player. Don't the officials here, the officials there. We can all do that. Now, the Saints and the Rams game, blame the official.
Aaron Hartigan, Bally Sports New Orleans, joins us. Aaron, we're all trying to figure out what's going on. First off, good afternoon. I wish you were with us here in Iberville, Mid-City. Weather's perfect, trying to have some lunch. But I got to be honest with you, I don't know if I'd enjoy it as much as if we were talking about a Pels win or win streak. Aaron, how are you today?
Listen, one, figuring things out is beyond the daily. Do we ever really have things figured out in life, Gus? Probably not. It's always great to be with you, though. That's my bright side today. And honestly, okay, I'm finding a lot of humor in the insanity on social media right now and the sense of panic I'm feeling among folks because let's remember how many seasons you and I sat here at this point digging for storylines and things and people to talk about because there wasn't any sort of contention in New Orleans. So I'm appreciating this insanity right now. Like, I appreciate the fact that there's a bit of, you know, there's the school board watching and there's you know, that sense of this is already kind of that postseason feel. And I'm grateful for that. So I will say that.
Okay. Well, help me out here, because obviously a lot of times I see you guys on the screen and stuff. I don't get to really hear. What is, I guess, sort of the take from Antonio and David Wesley yesterday, too, or just over the last couple of games, too? What's going on in this homestand right now? Because I kind of feel like this team's, is it just me? It almost feels like the identity has changed. I don't understand that.
No, okay, first of all, thanks, scheduling gods, for giving us Oklahoma City, Milwaukee, Boston, and Orlando on this stand. But you know, you know what? You made a great point. You make several great points, but you made a great one on the Pelicans podcast recently. Listen wherever you subscribe to podcasts. I think, and Willie spoke on this, he mentioned these sort of games, these sort of battles are part of the NBA journey. He's enjoying this right now. And you mentioned, you know, any battles right now can really benefit this team, win or lose, can benefit this team entering the postseason if they continue to make the adjustments and execute those adjustments the way they've shown the capability of responding this season. I'll remind you, they've had just six instances this season in which they have dropped two or more consecutive games. I mean, you and I have discussed this at length, their ability to respond when falling. The last time they had a losing streak of three or more games was back in January. They responded with a four-game win streak. They lost. Ripped off another four-game win streak. March comes. They go 10-6. I'd have signed off on a 10-6 March at this point at the start of the calendar year. Now I'm sitting here today greedy, like, maybe they should be 11-5. They should be 11-5 in March. But that's only because we've seen the Pels sit in top six comfortably for this recent stretch. You know, flirting with four. They capture four briefly. So we saw where this team could be and what they're capable of. And you think anything less is a disappointment. That's why I think that's why... It's a bit of a letdown to see them at seven right now, only because we once saw them sitting at four. We knew they were capable of that. Fletcher Mackel tweeted today, you know, he called Pelicans in a play-in scenario this year unacceptable. I would say it's just my choice of word would be disappointing. But am I worried? No, not the way, you know, not with the way this team has, responded, and the way they performed away from home this season, Gus. I mean, they have a four-game road trip coming up. I say you got to get two on the road. I think a 4-2 finish in the next stretch could be a win. You think they could get B.I. back late next week? Could he be back for the series rubber game with Golden State? Could he be back for the potential split with the Lakers? This thing could come down to those final two, and you could have Brandon back. That's what I'm remaining hopeful in.
I love the optimism. I love the hope. I really do. I think the reason I would say I'm more concerned today than I was a week ago when this team was in fourth is because I am watching the other games. You're scoreboard watching. I'm doing it as well. And, you know, Lakers are playing this way. And Steph and the Warriors look this way. And, you know, other teams are doing that. Booker last night saying, I'm ready for the playoffs. And we've seen what he did. And what's concerning is you get to Pel's post game and I'm hearing lack of sense of urgency, you know, ball movement, like things that have cost this team games earlier in the season. And while they have, from game to game, maybe learned some lessons and applied it, I'm listening to Z last night, in the post game, and he's talking about not matching the sense of urgency or the energy level. I know he's doing it. You can see him doing it. So, Aaron, I guess that's the thing. Is it just to the point that I was making with the steps that there's still some players that haven't gone through this? And maybe the old adage, some players are built for it and some people aren't?
Well, here's that. You know what? That your sense of concern is valid. Because I did also feel that a bit last night in the post-game press conferences and some of the sound we gathered after the game. I sat there and I thought, if this team doesn't finish top six, if this team enters the play-in, they'll have done it to themselves. They will have done it to themselves because there are a few teams in the league in which when this team is at full strength, even this team full strength without Brandon is better than most. I mean, they provide a potent matchup with really anyone in the league. And so when you see them kicking themselves and with turnovers and penalties and it's frustrating because you know their potential, and I'm not sure what's happening internally. That would be, you know, that would be something I'd love to sit down and talk to Willie Green about, or a player, maybe even Antonio Daniels, who kind of has a bit more insight on kind of the locker room morale right now. But I just think this team needs to keep its head down, much like it did through the month of March, and
right.
control what it can control. Because you, at this point, you got to control as much of your own destiny as you can and not leave it in the hands of other teams
yeah.
praying they'll fall. You do not want to put yourself in that position. That said, outside of New Orleans, I'm a massive fan. I've told you this before. I'm a massive fan of whoever the hell is playing the Clips, the Mavs, the Suns, the Warriors, and the Lakers. And tonight, Gus, I encourage all of the Crescent City to become a fan of the Kings, because if the Kings win in New York, it would bump the Pels back up to that comfy 6 foot, right next to that six again, which is
okay.
nice. So again, the scoreboard watching is fun. But does it make sense that I hope you can kind of gather that as well? Like we've seen this team beat itself. And that's most frustrating. It's not. I'm not concerned really with the opponent on the floor. It's more the Pels controlling what they can control, keeping their heads down and remaining focused on what they do well, kind of regaining that trust and that buy-in that we saw when they were pummeling through the month of March, right?
No, I'm with you. And I think that's the thing that you hope that happens, because I think you said it perfectly. And it's a great phrase. I'm going to steal it from you for the rest of the season here on my talk show. They did it to themselves, because to your point, right? It's the turnovers. And I mean, Herb Jones, the foul 16 seconds in and then later in the game, just two arms, just shoves a player out of it. That's not Herb, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's, mm-hmm. and you're just watching that. And it is. And it's frustration. We've all played, you know, sports to some level. Aaron, which is probably why we got into this, and I literally suggested this to Aaron Summers yesterday when she was in the studio at the end of the game. I said, honestly, they need to, like, go play pig or horse today. Do something completely just – because it feels like this team is sort of you've been there before. You know, when you overthink things, you're pressing, you're not just sort of yourself. I'm not saying don't go watch film.
You are
I'm not
so
saying
right
don't go do that. But go do something that is completely out of the ordinary. Have Willie Green show up wearing one of those inflatable sumo wrestling things and have a something
yes.
that will do what you just did. Laugh and be like, guys, breathe. You know, play pickle, play something, put money on it, put whoever wins gets something dumped on their head, something, and then get down to business. Because that's what that team looked like yesterday.
That you, I'm going to start calling you Coach Gus over here. And, man, you're
I coach Little League, just letting you know.
You're going to be a pretty cool sports dad. You get it. You get it, and I love that, because you know what disconnecting does? Is it allows you to press pause for a bit to really reflect on kind of, okay, where am I right now? Where do I want to be? How was I once there? Okay, how do I get back there? You know, kind of do a self-assessment. And then in playing pig and doing something, okay, and I'm drawing from experience in the game of softball, but it's across the board in all sports. When I was struggling
sure.
at the plate, I put the bat down. I put it away. I didn't go into the cage and start getting more No. We're going to put it down for a while. We're going to go find our joy for the game again, because that's the foundation. That's where all of this, that's what we saw in the month of March. That's why they're sitting 10-6 this month, is because we saw that joy. How many times did we talk about that? We're like, man, Zion's having fun again. And CJ's always got a love for the game. That's why he's such a veteran. That's why he only missed postseason once in his career. But, you know, we saw it with Herb and the Energizer Bunny that is Jose and Najee. But, like, put it away. Put the ball away, as you mentioned, and do something to kind of reattain like that chemistry, that joy, that fun, that energy, because that is when this team is going best. I mean, that's the secret sauce. And every team is different, but for this New Orleans squad, like that's an intangible that you really can't coach. And it's just the personalities that we were blessed to have on this team. And I love seeing that in there. I'd love them to find a way to kind of reinvigorate themselves again. So I love that point. And I'm
yeah.
sure, you know, Willie Green maybe is, hey, on this day off, like, you know, like do something together that's like not basketball related. Just disconnect from it for a little bit and clear your head.
Yeah.
And then when you pick up that ball again, let's go have fun, man. Because at the end of the day, this is fun. Again, how many seasons have we sat there where they are so far out of contention? We're looking at NBA draft. We're like, okay, where are we going to finish in the draft? You know, you're like trying
no doubt.
To find storylines
no.
on the shows. So I love this. Like, I want them to eat this up. This is what you play NBA basketball for. And so this is a great position to be in for them. So, again, what do you think in the final six? I think 4-2. Because you dropped that one to Orlando, you were the better team. It's hard to believe they hadn't defeated the Magic on the Smith King Center floor since 2017, but that's beside the point. Because of that, I think you have to get 2 on the road coming up. And I am praying to every god there is right now, Buddha, whoever, cuss right now, for Brandon to get back in time for that rubber series with the Warriors.
Yeah, no doubt, because it does kind of make you feel what it was like when his team lost Z last year and it had that 10-game losing streak. It's very similar on that. They just got to find it again, get back to it, and hopefully there's enough time to do that. I'm with you, Aaron. Look, I know you play softball. You call it, following your timeline on there as well. I call it, play it as well. It's confidence is such a big thing in this sport. Fundamentals, getting back down to the things that put you in position to have success there as well. So, look, one win can go a long way, right? When you're struggling at the plate, Aaron, you get that seeing eye single or something like that. Next thing you know, the softball looks like a basketball to you. You know, now you're just smacking it around everywhere. They just need some taste of something. Problem is, you got a guy in Victor Wembanyama who's playing really well tomorrow as well. So, they got to figure it out, you know?
Well, you know, and you know, that's a great, because I think, okay, to really explain kind of what, when I would put the bat away, it's like when I would pick it back up, when I felt like, okay, I'm fresh, I'm good, I'm mentally clear. It's like physically, and I don't know how the human body is pretty amazing. It goes back to what it just organically, naturally is able to do without thinking about it, because you've done it so dadgum much, it's ingrained in you. But when your brain starts taking over, that's when you have problems. Silence between the ears. Find a way to silence that right now. Get back to what flows organically and trust yourself. Because, again, we saw that trust. We saw that buy-in. We heard Willie talk about it often in the month of March. Find a way to get back to that is what I would encourage these guys to do. And I might be putting you on that bench, Coach Josh, because I might be putting you on the bench next to Willie and Borrego and those guys, because you get it at this point in the season. And I love your ideas, and I love where your head's at, man. I'm remaining hopeful, and I am just eating this up, because there are so many seasons we didn't get this, and so I know you and I both feel very privileged to get to be in this spot with them.
See what takes place, Aaron. As always, appreciate the time. Thank you for giving it to us here on this Thursday, and hopefully we'll see you soon in the Crescent City, because that means there's some playoff games going on.
Herb Jones, first team all defense. You're the best, Gus.
I love that. Thank you so much. I am Aaron Hardigan. It's the way to give a follow over our next quick break. We come back. Oh, no. John Forcade, a list. A list is out.
Oh.
Where is Dennis Allen on the top head coaches of the NFL list?
It ain't the first list. It ain't the first page.
Stop it. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
It's time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The GCAT is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back. Hour number one at Katie's, as it is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. We'll be there next Friday, John 4K. If you're not doing anything, I'd love to see you come over to their demo pool. They're going to be demonstrating how to fly fish, how to do different aspects over there on Airline Drive, right next to a toy store that's probably been there since you've been there. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know how to pronounce it, which is why I'm not saying the name.
I got you.
Do you know how to say it?
No, I don't.
Jolene?
I don't know.
It's French.
All I know is
I guess would be friends.
Can a skinny dip in the pool?
No, not that kind of pool.
Oh,
it's not
I didn't know.
But place.
I want to get. You know,
I mean, you can. But we're going to be trying to fly fish.
Well, I don't want to get hooked.
Well, that's right. I mean, swim at your own risk.
Hey, speaking of that list, 1 through
you know what? Maybe
1
you shouldn't
through
go
10,
next Friday.
11 through 20, and 21 through 32. Okay, so let me
let me set it up.
Okay, three pages.
NBCSports.com. Patrick Daugherty puts out a list, 2024 NFL head coach rankings, analysis for all 32 teams. And I saw Catherine Terrell, ESPN reporter for your New Orleans Saints, said, well, Dennis Allen didn't finish last,
But he was close. He's closer to the last than he is the first, ain't he?
He was the the last head coach before the new hires. So of all coaches coming back, he was ranked last. Who do you think was ranked first?
Well, we all know Andy Reid's ranked first.
Andy Reid, yes. Andy Reid, is last year's ranking was 1. Sean McVay, 2. John Harbaugh, Ravens, 3. Kyle Shanahan, 4. Mike Tomlin, 5. Matt LaFleur, the Packers, 6. Do you think he's the 6th best coach in the NFL? He did a pretty good job last year, huh?
Who's that?
Matt LaFleur, the Packers.
I thought he did a good job last year. Okay. No, I mean, we based it off of last year. We based it like their career.
Going into this season, last year, he had him at 13. Okay. This year, he has him at 6.
Okay.
So he went up. And look, I can't disagree.
Can't fault that, yes.
He probably should have beaten 49ers.
San Fran, yep.
So,
yep.
And look, let's be honest. That first year after Aaron Rodgers, for them to be into the postseason,
Love did a lot better than what I expected. I agree. A lot of other people expected.
Dan Campbell at 7. Dan Campbell's done a lot with the Lions, man. Yep. I mean, he's changed that culture completely. Sean McDermott, Bills at 8.
I've always liked that guy as a coach. I think he's a good coach. I think he has some misfortunes that, you know, that can't fault him for it.
Zach Taylor, Bengals 9.
I don't know about that one.
Kevin Stefanski, Browns 10.
That's another one.
But 4 different quarterbacks got to the postseason.
Yeah, well, we based it off of last year. Okay.
Right, no, that's what I'm saying. Off of last year.
All right, yeah.
Mike McDaniel, Dolphins 11. Roy's not going to like that. Now, he did go up 6. He was 17 going into last season. Okay. He went up to 11 this year. Kevin O'Connell, Vikings.
I like 12. Kevin O'Connell. I think he's a good coach.
Another coach that somehow found a way to win and stuff. He didn't have Justin Jefferson. He didn't have
Kirk Cousins
most of the season. Amazing. Sean Payton, Broncos at 13.
No way.
No?
No, sure. Did you see what he did last
year? Yes. Did you see how they started? I mean, he had to take over a dumpster fire and...
I'd drop him down a couple slots.
Well, I'm just happy because I have him above Mike McCarthy at the Cowboys. He won 13 games. He won 13 games and they got Peyton above him. Wow. Nick Sirianni, Eagles at 15. Last year's ranking, he was 8, so he went down.
Down.
Mm. Well, they
lost a lot of players now.
Doug Peterson, Jags. Last year, 10. He went down to 16. D'Amico Ryans, first year in. He's coming in at 17.
I'm impressed with him.
I like D'Amico.
I do, too.
Todd Bowles, your Buccaneers, at 18. You got to give him credit.
He
went up from 23 to 18.
Yep,
okay. He's not top 10. He's not top 15.
Right. Well,
but
he's about right.
They won a division.
Yeah, they did. With my quarterback.
They did. Shane Steichen of the Colts.
Who?
19.
What's the dude's name?
Shane Steichen. The Colts were competitive last year.
If you'd asked me what the Colts' head coach is now, I'd never been able to tell
you. I agree, but...
Well, they had a good year now.
If they were just a quarterback. Gardner Minshew comes in, you got to give him credit for that.
Yep, they were one
Brian game. Daboll, Giants, went from 15 to 20.
I'm not sold on that guy.
Okay, Robert Sala, the Jets.
Another one we
went from 18 to 21. Matt Eberflus, the Bears.
Are you kidding
24
me?
To 22. They have him going up to... Okay.
Oh, because of what? They got rid of the Fields?
Jonathan Gannon, his first year last year with the Cardinals, 23.
Mm.
And there he is, Dennis Allen, at 24. Everyone below him is a brand new head coach.
Mm.
The write-up from NBCSports.com. We lost a lot of bad coaches last winter. Arthur Smith, Brandon Staley, Josh McDaniels, and Ron Rivera sent their regards. That means we're left with the merely mediocre to round out our list. No one is more committed to the bit than Dennis Allen, a defensive coordinator trapped in a head coach's body. Allen has treated Sean Payton's leftover offense like a museum heirloom that disintegrates if you touch it. There is an attack that hasn't innovated in 3 years. Right down to banging Alvin Kamara between the tackles for no reason and rushing Taysom Hill onto the field anytime there's a critical down. Well, it's not entirely true. There has been no innovation. Allen has decided to find out just how boring Drew Brees-style quarterbacking can become. Andy Dalton pushed the envelope in 2022. Derek Carr reached new heights in 2023. Allen, who admittedly takes care of business on defense, has finally moved on from Peyton Ball on offense, but replaced it with Kubiak Ball. Not Gary, but Clint. It's a fine system in a vacuum. It's also become mummified under Clint, with no new wrinkles inserted since the Peyton Manning days in Denver. Maybe 2023 49er passing game coordinator Clint learned something under coach Kyle Shanahan. That's what the Saints season and Allen's future employment hinges on. This old Kubiak dog picking up some new Shanahan tricks. I suppose there are worse plans, but I'm not seeing many for 2024. So as we close out hour number one, and we'll come back and get your thoughts on that, this particular writer believes that that offense isn't exactly going to just take off in spruce.
Right. How can he determine any of that? The guy's never even he didn't call a play yet. He didn't call a play in San Francisco. He's never called a play.
Well, again,
so let the guy get a shot.
We'll talk with this guy.
Who's his writer? I'm going to send him a note.
Oh, I like that. Sports Hangover continues back with hour number two live at Katie's. Hour one is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. Go check them out online, nowakeoutfitters.com. You'll listen to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.